Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of June 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana. Bruce Bostard from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company up in Ludlow, Illinois, will be here to look at the cash grain market. We'll talk with Jim Angel, Illinois State climatologist, about the weather forecast for the weekend and the week ahead. And Dave Dickey will be here with today's agricultural news. Along the way, I'll remind you to visit our website and to check out the Protecting the Family Farm Legacy event that's scheduled for the 24th day of June in Bloomington Normal. Our thanks to the folks at Farm Credit for their help with putting this together. It's an Illinois tech school estate and succession planning program. More on that and how to register as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago for a Friday afternoon. Futures were lower in the wheat pit nearby July for the soft red, down 4¾ at $6.80¾. September at $6.88¾, down 5. And December at $7.01½, 5¼ lower. Hard red in Kansas City at $8.04, rather at $7.11½, down 7. It was the hard red spring in Minneapolis that was $8.04. By the way, it was 8 cents lower. July corn futures at $6.55, 11½ cents higher. September at $5.71¾, up a penny and a quarter. December futures from the corn pit 2¼ lower at $5.33, and the March at $5.44 down 2½, and May futures off 2½ as well at $5.51½. July corn of next year at $5.58¼ down 2½ cents as well. July bean futures at $15.16½, 6¼ higher. August at $14.34, up 7¼. September a penny higher at $13.42½. On a settlement price, and then things turned lower. November contract $12.98¼, down 2¼. January $13.03¾, down 3 cents. In the March soybeans at $13.03¾, down 3¼. Bean oil finished at $48.48, up 64. Bean meal at $450.70, down $1.90. Live cattle in the August at $118.32½, 75 cents lower on the day. This, of course, is Illinois Public Media. The feeder cattle on the afternoon finished the September at $146.22½. That's $1.52½ lower. And the lean hogs for the day at $98.02½, down 62½ cents. The outside markets show crude oil at $97.70. Down, or rather up, a dollar and a penny for the day. And the RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $2.88¼, up 2¼. Ethanol futures at $2.48¼, up 2½¢. And the difference between the two now at $40, or rather at 40¢. Natural gas at $3.74¼, that's 7¾ lower. And the diesel fuel at $2.95¢, a penny and 7¢ higher. Gold futures trading $1,387.60 when they finished the day. We're $9.70 higher, and the U.S. dollar at 88.66 was down 0.08 on the afternoon.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Now, here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies. A high of 80 degrees on an east wind at 6 miles an hour tonight. Mostly cloudy, a low of 61. East wind at 3 to 6. Tomorrow, a 40% chance of showers. A few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high of 84 degrees. And Saturday night, showers and thunderstorms are likely, mostly cloudy, and a low of 67. On Sunday, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high of 84. A 40% chance of showers as we head into Sunday evening, mostly cloudy and 66. And on Monday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 83. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of June. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets here at IPM is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting and in the process of making the move from the Eastern Corn Belt to the Western Corn Belt today, not in Lafayette, Indiana, but in Atchison, Kansas. Congratulations to you, Michael.
Well, we're about two-thirds of the way there. Thank you, Todd, and it's been a real fun treat to try and get this move underway. It's been a real chore, but it's been a labor of love. We've got a homeschooling family and a smaller a community is what we're trying to find as far as a faith-based college, and we had to start looking about a year or so ago for that, and we decided on a small college out here in Atchison that was still in the Corn Belt. That was the main thing for me and the business, obviously. And so we're about two-thirds of the way there and excited. We're going to miss a lot of people in Lafayette and that area, but we'll be around a lot, and Farm Progress is coming up and things like that. So with today's technology, I don't think it'll be a big issue from a standpoint of the East or Western Corn Belt.
You know, I'm sure it will not. Here, you'll be able to be on Commodity Week and the Closing Market Report, just as you always have, and all our programming throughout the day. And you're expected to come in for Farm Progress Show and some of our Will Ag Outlooks and continue to do your own panels. I don't think it'll change a whole lot. And I suspect all your phone numbers will stay the same, too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, that's where the transition, have tried to make it slow and steady and work out bugs and looking at probably around the 1st of August to be able to turn everything over from a standpoint of being registered in Kansas and versus Indiana and all that other stuff for compliance and regulatory needs. But it's an exciting time. We've got five children that we want to send to one college and have them live here at the house and be able to save money because we're one income. And like I said, get to a smaller faith-based college that maybe will give them a jump on the what's ahead maybe in the future for them. And it's just nice to work in agriculture and have clients and subscribers that understand that mindset and actually embrace it. I've been blessed with the clients that I work with. There's no question about it. And the people like you I work with.
I am so happy for you, I have to admit. As somebody who has kids in college and mine are still at home with me, it's really fantastic to see them. Actually, I send them away during the summer months, which is kind of fun. The older two go out and are camp counselors at Allerton at the 4-H Memorial Camp. And this is their third year there, and they have a ball. Speaking of bugs, let's go back to your comment here and working some things out. I think the Chicago Board of Trade, the CME group's trying to figure out, along with all the traders, just exactly what's happening in the Corn Belt as it relates to the size of the potential crop for corn, for soybeans, how many acres are there, what kind of yield reduction there may or may not have been because of the late planting, because of all of the rainfall. And I suspect you've seen quite a little bit of country between Lafayette and Atchison, Kansas, as you skipped across parts of Illinois and the northern part of Missouri. What did it look like?
It's a great question because it really matches up with what we've been talking about the last 3 weeks since the end of May. It's really all about the June weather because this crop is super small. I was surprised as far as from Springfield, Illinois, all the way to Atchison, how much corn got put in just as late as last weekend. I mean, a lot of fields in western Illinois, throughout Missouri, into the wetter regions of eastern Kansas, were just coming up and emerging. And I think that's the key here. And I think in the hindsight of the report, the trade probably went more bearish with the mindset that we were drying out and that field work and side dressing and bean planting would start to come on really strong just in the nick of time. But now we've got another weather system crossing the most saturated areas of Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Wisconsin. You look at corn emergence right now, Todd, and this is what I saw on my trip. Missouri's at 82% versus 90% normal. That's the best one. Iowa's at 81 versus 96. Minnesota, 78 emerged versus 95. And Wisconsin, 60% emerged versus 88. So 3 inches of rain on already saturated soils would create a havoc on in terms of ponding and lost bushels. So I think you're right. The trade is searching because they aren't sure about acres after USDA's report when USDA took a pass this week. And with USDA taking yield down, they followed the crop conditions and followed the planting progress. But are we going to lose more harvested acres or yield because of additional ponding this next 10 days? This next 10 days, I think, really makes or breaks the supply side for both corn and beans.
Yeah, as I gather, we here in the east central part of Illinois around Urbana-Champaign have one of the better-looking crops in the nation at this point. And I suspect that runs maybe, 50 or 60 miles in either directions? Is that kind of right, I mean, when you come through?
Yeah, but I would say if you expand it out, generally speaking, as you move east, it gets better and better and better. I mean, are wet areas, especially in southern Indiana, but I was speaking with one of my good clients in Owensboro, Kentucky. He said he's probably got one of the best crops in 10 or 12 years. People in northwest Ohio, up until this week, northeast Indiana, who got saturated, we're talking about some of their best crops in over a decade as well. People in eastern Indiana, closer to Indianapolis, that's where it gets shaky again. But I think by and large, other than some holes, some pretty big holes, as you move east of Champaign, the crop gets better.
And then as you go west, it starts to look bad. I'm told from listeners, from farmers, Emerson Nafziger here on campus just released today. It's up on the IPM Bulletin website, and I've got him on audio. I'll try to post that into the website, our website at WillAg over the weekend, or we'll run it on Monday, one of the two, about purple corn, yellow corn. He's not too terribly worried about that at the moment, so it's just really a lack of oxygen and not the idea that nitrogen has gotten away. And he's done some tests that show that, at least in our ore center, which is in Pike County over the western side of the state.
And this would not be as big an issue if we had a better handle on the old crop supply. That's really what it boils
down to. I know.
Yeah. And I think that's what today showed us, and as we finished up the week. And I've heard more and more talk, consistent talk, that as the traders maybe get more negative new crop, they start to worry more about the July delivery process. And I think this is where, if the bull spread continues to be favorable and the cash basis in the interior continues to be favorable, and Argentina supposedly got 150 ships lined up and more to be lined up next week as the farmers suspend corn and soy sales for a whole week, I think you continue to see the bull spread work. Therefore, you continue probably to see the new crop underpinned.
Right. So the new crop is underpinned just a bit, but it's held up by old crop, right?
I mean, exactly.
And it's held up especially because the old crop, because the new crop just seems to be getting later and later and later. I mean, if the corn crop, it went in late and now it's not getting off to the best start, but it really is going to have more time.
Yes, and you see that in the September corn versus the December. You've noticed here since the report that the September has been pulled more with the July. I think that will continue because our early corn is going to be hard to come by. Same with early beans. The August beans, the September beans, should be more in the mindset of wanting to be pulled by July versus November. And I think that's where the disconnect becomes the connect again, as if we do see July go higher than the August and the September futures continue to support the new crop. The big thing that is the distinction here between corn and beans right now is, A, wheat has been a negative force on the corn. Exports have been a negative force on the corn. So beans continue to be the leader, the upside, both demand-wise, and they don't have anyone pulling them down like a wheat market.
Is there a cautionary tale that farmers need to be aware of, again, between the old crop and the new crop? Despite the fact that this crop keeps getting later, it might not yet be that small, although we'll see later in the year what happens with it in terms of small, in terms of what the consumption of that crop might be. So that even if the August and September delivery timeframes, maybe even parts of October, look really good, further out might not look so great.
Yeah, this is where your basis comes into play, too. Not just the futures, but also your basis. We don't have the best basis right now. It's not bad, but it's not great historically. Nothing like last year, early this year. Some of my cash contacts would suggest that at this stage of the game, we should see basis start to move similar to what we saw in April and May. If we do, I'd really be looking for November beans, like in the October delivery and November delivery corn, October delivery corn, that basis to move up and get improved with that move of the old crop basis going like the springtime basis. That I think we want to tap into and lock into as the crop improves.
for both new crop corn and soybeans. Then.
Exactly.
All right. Anything else that we need to talk about before I let you go for the
day? The big thing I think we have to watch now is we've had a 5% decline in the dollar index in the last 2 weeks. That's the biggest one. That's the biggest decline for that time period since we've seen back in September of last year. That's going to play a role in our markets in the second half of the year, I think.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Hey, that is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting, we'll say, at the moment from Lafayette, Indiana, but soon to be from Atchison, Kansas, as he makes the move from this month to next month with his office and his family a bit west. We are looking forward to talking to him from his new vantage point as we go through the summer months. In just a moment, Dave Dickey will be here with today's agricultural news.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Supreme Court on Thursday denied a Texas agency's bid to go into Oklahoma to obtain water, dealing a major blow to a fast-growing region in North Texas plagued by drought. The Texas agency claimed it had a right to the water under the Red River Compact, a congressional agreement. A unanimous court held that the Red River Compact does not allow Texas to trump Oklahoma's sovereign right to control its own water supplies. Legal experts say the ruling could have implications for the many compacts that govern the flow of water between states. A new University of Illinois study says expect little in price supports if Congress approves either the Senate or House farm bill options and season average prices fall to around $4.50 or less between now and 2016. The Illinois study measured the impact of commodity program payments under all alternative House and Senate proposals using a typical McLean County, Illinois corn grower with average yields and three price scenarios for 2013 through the 2016 marketing years. Pork producer Smithfield Foods says its net income fell nearly 63% in the fourth quarter, as it experienced lower hog prices, higher feed costs, and a decline in exports to China and Russia. The Smithfield, Virginia-based company says it earned $29.7 million, or 21 cents per share, for the period ending April 28th. That's down from $79.5 million, or 49 cents per share, a year ago. The Federal Emergency Management Agency is refusing to provide money to help rebuild the small Texas town where a deadly fertilizer plant explosion leveled numerous homes and a school and killed 15 people. FEMA said it reviewed the state's appeal to help West, but decided that the explosion is not of the severity and magnitude that warrants a major disaster declaration. The latest U.S. Drought Monitor map says that drought conditions were largely unchanged in the U.S. last week. Only 2.2% of the Midwest was in drought as of Thursday. That's down 1.25 percentage points. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media, and he writes our weekend newsletter. It's a really good one. You should sign up today. Just hit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. And there over on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a whole list of things, including a way to sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's free, simple, and easy to sign up for. And if you don't like it, just come back to the same place at willag.org and hit unsubscribe. It's that simple and really easy to do. Dave does a magnificent job of putting that program and newsletter together. It's released most weekends from right here at WILL AG. You know, one other thing that you should do while you're on the web is to visit this website. It's the Tax School. That's at www.taxschool.illinois.edu. And then over on the left-hand side, not the right, but the left-hand side of the page, you'll find a list of things, including the Family Farm Legacy event. It is an estate and succession planning program scheduled for the 24th day of June in Bloomington Normal. It's just $40. It's sponsored in part by Farm Credit. That's why it's so cheap to go. And you should come along. It's a day-long event. I'll host from 8:30 to 4:45 on Monday, the 24th of June. Please do register now. Cost is just $40. You can register online at the Farm Family Legacy Estate and Succession Planning page. It's at the Tax School website at taxschool.illinois.edu.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Friday afternoon. Bruce Bostert of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company is on the phone line with us. Thanks, Bruce, for taking the time to talk with us today. Can you look out to the fall months and tell me what your basis bids look like for August, September, October, and kind of the change from I need corn to maybe I'll have corn?
We've got a wide change. You go from 37 over nearby to gut slot new crop bid at 14 under the D's. Beans, $1.07 over the August nearby to 20 under. And even those new crop bids are historically pretty tight basis levels. I think there's a certain amount of wanting to prime the pump, some uncertainty. Cash sale or new crop sales are below what they have been historically, so I think there's a certain amount of wanting to get a book on out there. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. Do you have any experience with years like this where you have not many folks who have made sales up front and we look like we're going to have a very late harvest?
Yeah, and it's going to be especially interesting this year. Typically, when we have that late harvest, you have volatile vases, you have quick shipment, inverted type bids that get things going. What's different this year is we don't have that geographic spread that I've always seen in the past. You're not going to be bringing early corn in from southern Illinois, from Kentucky, because they didn't get planted as early as northern Illinois did. So that will really make things interesting this year.
And right now, does anybody in your area have corn or soybeans left that you can find and get them to move?
Oh, what is out there on corn is pretty much in the elevator, so the stocks are here. It's just gambling stocks right now. Soybeans, we've seen a few beans move as people finished up with beans and replanting. You always see a few beans come into town, but that's basically it right now, stuff that was held back in reserve.
End users in a pinch at this point or not?
Not at this point, but I think it's going to come and go. You tend to have a really volatile market where the end user will want to come in, buy some bushels, they'll see some cash movement, and they'll back off. They'll sit back until they have to get it done to see if the board will rally and do the work for them.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are at 692 on nearby corn, 519 new crop. Beans, 1541 nearby, and 1278 new crop.
Thanks so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostert is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. He is out of Ludlow, Illinois. We'll return in just a couple of minutes here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media and talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Jim Angel.
It's Cow Appreciation Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1850, the refrigerated ice-making machine was first demonstrated by Dr. John Gorey, who eventually received a patent for the machine on May 6th of 1851. In 1857, Frederick Louis Maytag was born. An American industrialist, Maytag was one of the founders of a farm implement company in Newton, Iowa. They made threshing machines, band cutters, and self-feeder attachments. In 1907, the company began producing the Maytag washing machine to make up for the seasonal nature of the farm equipment business. The first machine, the Parsons Pastime, featured a hand-powered wood tub. In 1868, the first patent for a spring tape measure was issued to Alvin J. Fellows of New Haven, Connecticut. The tape measure was enclosed in a circular case with a spring click lock to hold the tape at any desired point. In 1943, George Washington Carver was honored with a national monument near his childhood home near Diamond Grove, Missouri. Carver was a prolific agricultural researcher, instructor, and chemical investigator. And in 1986, Raymond Lowry died, an American design engineer. He is known as the father of streamlining. Famous examples of his designs include the 1947 Studebaker Starlight Coupe and the Coca-Cola bottle. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, state climatologist on the phone line to look at the weather forecast for the weekend and the week ahead. Jim, thanks for taking the time with us this afternoon. We do appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Todd.
What do you see for the weekend?
Well, this weekend is going to be fairly warm, highs in the low 80s and lows overnight in the mid-60s there. You know, that's pretty close to average for this time of year. Average highs are about 82 and average lows are about 62. So we're right on the mark for this time of year. There is a chance of thunderstorms on Saturday night, Sunday night, and Monday. The odds are running about 40 to 60% chance on those. So expected rainfall totals or potential rainfall totals out of that are fairly impressive. I mean, we can get maybe up to 2 inches of rain out of those events. But, you know, when you say thunderstorms, it's always kind of a hit and miss, so we'll see how that works out.
I know over the last month and throughout the beginning of the calendar year, and always for that matter, because it's what you do, you watch weather and the climate. Can you tell me about the differences in the state of Illinois as to where the rainfall has been in the greatest amounts? For instance, the difference east to west, maybe north to south as well?
That's right. If you look at right now, the wettest part of the state has been in the western part. Kind of that triangle between St. Louis and Springfield and Quincy has probably been the hardest hit. I mean, we've had some monthly totals of over 12 inches at some of those places there. As you go into this part of Illinois, kind of east central, it hasn't been that wet. We're still close to average on precipitation. And there's a few spots in far northern Illinois and far southern Illinois that are maybe a little bit on the dry side at this point in time. So there are some areas we are kind of watching. I mean, just because we had a wet spring doesn't mean we're in the clear as far as problems this growing season.
When you look forward, is there anything of concern that you see? For instance, rain just stopping altogether?
You know, really, we don't. All the forecasts right now are still showing continuation of rain, where it looks like we're going to, at least with the 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day forecast, we have an increased chance of warmer than average temperatures and above average precipitation. So looks like that warm, wet pattern is going to continue at least out to 14 days. So there's nothing in the immediate future that raises any alarms.
Anything else we should add before I let you go?
Well, you know, we're still struggling with flooding on the Illinois and Mississippi rivers, even though it's been a relatively quiet week. And so that's an ongoing concern. The other thing is we did have a few tornadoes reported in the northern part of this state. There was an EF2, which is a fairly serious one over by Savannah that did cause one serious injury. So we did have some severe weather on that Wednesday episode.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us. We appreciate it, and have a good weekend.
You're welcome. You too, Todd.
Hey, that's Jim Angel. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey. The Prairie Research Institute joins us here in the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. Don't forget to join us for Commodity Week. We'll post that by about 6 o'clock Central Time this evening. Our guest this week is Bill Lapp of Advanced Economic Solutions. Find us online at willag.org.